Hey there, everybody. Welcome along to another Tech Talk UK. This is show number 128, and we're recording this on Sunday, the 24th of September, in a sunny Ipswich. I don't know about the Midlands, Mr. Yates.
Well, the answer is wall-to-wall Mr. Grey Sky and raining.
Oh, so absolutely.
Ipswich strikes again.
Ipswich strikes again, just like my Super Blues, my ITFC. You're obviously not a football guy, I understand that, but 4-3.
Some second division team you support, yeah?
4-3, well, a second if you count Premier League as first, but
yeah,
if,
our last
you know,
2 years old money, aren't
basically division ball. One, really, but, you know. Yeah, Championship, freshly up this season, we're already, basically, we're equal top at the moment. We've two goals behind the leaders, but
it has to be said, I did spot the fact that you won 4-3, and that was after
4-3
and drawing level. So
yeah, it was quite amazing. Quite amazing start to the best start we've ever made for 43 seasons. So the boys are really doing it.
Next year, do you reckon?
I kind of almost hope so. I mean, you want to, because as a football fan, you want your team to be playing the Chelseas, the Man U's, you know, and the top teams. But
the overpaid cart horses.
Yeah, basically. But you know, you'll struggle. You know, this will be quite hard. You know, Leicester a few years ago won it, and now they're back with us. You know, and in fact, leading the championship by two goals, I should add. So, yeah, really, really, really pleasing day yesterday. Made slightly sweeter by the fact that Norwich lost. That's always a double bonus, really. And we are now, I mean, actually interesting, if you are into football, that there's 8 points now between Ipswich and Norwich. And the top three have now created, I think, something like a 5-point lead, which at this stage of the season is meaningless, but...
I'm going to say, how many matches have there been so far this season?
8 so far, and there's 46, so a little way to go,
a little way to go.
But yeah, very, very happy with that, and more relevant to the show, I guess, very, very happy at the moment in honeymoon period. I don't know if you can have a honeymoon period on an iPhone when you've had almost every iPhone since the launch of the original one from America.
I'm going to have to sit and suffer now, aren't I?
Little bit, I suppose, but I mean,
can I just say something to you?
Of course you can.
You are the same Kev Wright who swore there was no circumstances in which you'd have an iPhone with a trench, yeah?
Same one that said I wouldn't have a one with a notch either. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
and
what you mean.
You're the same one who spent the last year and a bit going on about there's no way I'm having anything with something called Monkey Island at the top.
Yeah. Yeah. And as of today, I am officially declaring it the fantastic Dynamic Island. But we will come to that very soon.
We'll come to that very soon.
So this is the thing about being an iPhone owner, really, isn't it? And I mean, let's be honest, you've got a 14 Pro, I would think, probably in front of you.
Pro Max,
yeah. So you've got one, and you know, frankly, you don't need a 15 Pro Max, I don't think. I know you're getting one because we obviously said you.
Just hold on a minute. Hang on. You don't need. What strange concept is
that? Oh, sure. We did promise never to use that word need on the show, didn't we? I will strike that. I'll go back and edit that.
I'll put my full confession on the podcast in a minute. Yeah, we can go for the full ritual humiliation.
So basically what happened is, I think it may be a few listeners know that I work at John Lewis. I don't know. Maybe I've mentioned it in the past. I think probably. You know, and my intention was to buy one at John Lewis. We did pre-orders for the first time this year, and... I think we were slated to get about 8 Pros and Pro Maxes across all colours and sizes. So they're very, very small allocation, pretty much the same as last year. And unfortunately, ours didn't turn up for the launch day. I have no idea if they turned up afterwards because it's my weekend off. But yeah, ours didn't turn up. They sent us a thing. We kind of knew that anyway. So we had a few sort of mildly disappointed people first thing Friday. But basically, I was going to try and nab one if there was one there, and we only when we opened, you know, no sort of favoritism, and we don't get discount on Apple stuff, as you guys probably know. So I couldn't get one, and I thought, well, I wasn't, you know what, I wasn't devastated by it, because at the end of the day, I had a 13 Pro. Now, it's interesting. I am about to make a statement that you, we'll see if you take issue with it. I have, for the first time ever, I believe, stuck with the same model of iPhone for 2 years.
Yeah, I think it probably is.
I.e. a 13 Pro. Now, I won't say I stuck with the same phone for 2 years, because that was, in fact, split across two iPhone 13 Pros. I don't know if anyone remembers that.
I do. That would be too simple, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So I had the, at launch 2 years ago, I had the 13 Pro 256, because ProRes was pretty new and it didn't work properly on the 128. I then proceeded to use ProRes exactly zero times, apart from a very quick couple of tests to prove how crazy the it used up the storage. You could only do 1080p on the 128 13 Pro, which I think may still be the case with the 15 Pro, actually, and maybe the 14 Pro. But anyway, long story short, I sold it to a chap at work, and you know, predictably enough, a couple of months later, I bought another one. Hence the 13 Pro that I currently have up for sale. I will come to that. Actually, we'll do that later. Got a 13 Pro for sale, and I've got the Flip 3. I'd like to move on if I can as well, just to pay for the 15 Pro, really. So I looked at the situation. I kind of knew on Wednesday / Thursday that we probably wouldn't get any in time for the launch, just due to logistical issues. And of course, we're one of the smaller stores. We're one, well, I think we're the only store that is appended with the words "at home," John Lewis at home. And that means we're a sort of home store, not a full line store. And there were a few of those, but a lot of those ones got closed down. I think we were one of the few that got spared, along with Horsham. And Horsham has just had like a massive upgrade and is our new style of shop completely. So technically not an at home. So I think we missed out. Generally speaking, our shops didn't have that many Pros and Pro Maxes. Tons of 15s, tons of 15 pluses. No real problem. So on Friday morning, I was starting at 9, so around about 7 o'clock, I'm reading our back channel, and our good friend Dave Rich mentioned that he had, I don't know if he actually mentioned that he'd reserved one at Apple for pickup later that day or Saturday, yesterday, or whether he just happened to notice that there were some. So I very quickly dived on to Apple. And sure enough, I found the one I wanted, which was a 256 this time. I'm going to go for 256. A 256 black, normal Pro. I kind of toyed with the idea of a Max, but yes, it was lighter than the old Max. It was still 18 grams more than my my one. My 13 Pro, but I was in the store on Thursday evening, because at 7 o'clock the Apple sort of team turned up, and team of one actually turned up to put the new models out. They can't put them out until 8 o'clock when the store closes, but they come in at 7 to prep. And I was lucky enough to be able to sort of handle all the four demos, which we'd had for a few days anyway. But we're not allowed to open them technically. So I got to handle all of them before they went on to the horrible sort of holders that they sit in, you know, John Lewis and not Apple, actually. They're much better in Apple, but much more vulnerable as well. Ours have got those horrible sort of holder things. Yeah. So I got to play with them, and I was immediately, you know, up until then, I was kind of like, yeah, I'll probably get one tomorrow if we get some, you know, but looks like we're not going to. And I was very sort of wishy-washy about the whole thing. In terms of perhaps a defence of my sudden favour of Monkey Island, Dynamic Island. I can't really call it Monkey Island anymore, because that was a disparaging term, wasn't it? But I'd got used to it because A, I'd been setting them up for customers and kind of got used to it and thought, yeah, so I guess that's not that bad. But I'd seen them on display for over a year. And not only that, I knew that they're not going to go away for a couple of years probably now. They're in there. And my colleague who I work with has had a 14 Pro for a while and she absolutely loves it, you know, and I kind of trust her and she's a sensible girl. And if she loved it, I thought, well, OK, this is a bit daft, you know. It's very we'll come on to that later. But yeah, just to finish off, basically, I found one. I could have picked it up literally within a few hours at Apple. But of course, I was working all day Friday. So I just booked it for 11:30 yesterday. Got there in Norwich and couple of minute wait while they found it for me. And the guy I spoke to, I had a great chat with him because the first thing he said is, do you want us to set it up for you? And I laughed and we had a conversation about, well, probably not. Because I'm tech support at John Lewis and that would be silly. And he's obviously kind of like, oh, well, hang on, why are you in Ipswich? You know, why have you travelled up here? And I'm like, oh, because we didn't get any and I need one and I got to have one on day one or day two or whatever. That wasn't really true. I could have waited, I suppose. But, I mean, technically now I've got a one-year warranty, not a two-year warranty, you know, but it is what it is. Exactly. In terms of, just tell us your process because bottom line is you haven't got any yet.
Yeah. Well, firstly, I got to say, I've already quite justifiably had some stick for going out and buying one after I said last week I couldn't see any point in it, and I'm not still not entirely sure why I did, but it was more I think I'd said for some while that when the new one came out, I'd get Fiona one. So I arranged a trade-in for her 13 Pro on a 15 Pro.
Yeah.
Something else I've also had to stick about, because Leon has said to me, but you could make more if you recycled it or something. Well, yeah, I could. But unlike you, I've had some bad experiences with recyclers who just have not done what they said they would do.
Mm.
And also, I don't need the aggravation. So I set up this this trade-in on Tuesday, I think it was. And I got to the end of that process, and it's a bit embarrassing to admit, really, but I just thought, oh, sod it, I'll upgrade mine as well. So I set up a trade-in on that. So I got all the trade-ins done, all the serial numbers locked in, absolutely everything the way they want it to be. And so then I got to Friday, and 5 to 1, there I was. I've got my laptop, my desktop, my iPad, and my 14 Pro Max all on the Apple Store. But it didn't open for me until 1:25, which by which time I was getting a bit fed up. When it did open, it let me go into my pre-orders. And when I started trying to process them, the first thing it did, and this is a warning that make you laugh, first thing it did was make me sign into my Apple account, not unreasonable, except that. I set mine up with a YubiKey, so I hadn't got the YubiKey out, so I had to grab the YubiKey. I mean, that wasn't a calamity, but it wasted another 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Exactly where it was. And then I go into it, and I go through to checkout, and he goes, sorry, trading is not available. Or rather, no, not available now. So I thought, well, what the hell am I going to do? So I switched device and started again, same thing. That happened to me two or three times. Then eventually it accepted the trading. Then it required me to log in again. And I'm thinking, well, this is very odd. But the login again was basically to verify the payment method, which, I mean, forgive me if I'm being dense. I've logged into the Apple Store app on my phone. I've logged into my account, and now it wants me to log in again.
Mm.
So anyway, I logged in again, and to my frustration, discovered that basically it was insisting on doing this one device at a time.
Yeah.
So I succeeded in getting Fiona's one in the basket. I then had the same fiasco again, where it told me that trading wasn't currently available, where I had to sign into my account, where I had to sign in to pay again. The whole process took about 20 minutes. At the end of those 20 minutes, both of them were in there for delivery on between the 26th, that's this coming Thursday, and the 2nd of October. Well, you know, not a calamity. It just means I've had to listen to all of you in the back channel with your new toys, but, you know, at least it. It's not something I'm losing too much sleep about.
Yeah.
So then on Friday morning, overnight, Apple take payment for both phones. So I'm thinking, oh, well, maybe it will be here today. But then I get a thing through from DHL saying, we've had your details, your Apple Pass, it will be delivered on Monday. Well, unfortunately for me, I'm working away on Monday and Tuesday. But when I go onto my Apple Store account, even though they had the money for both phones, only one of them has been dispatched. The other one still showing is preparing for dispatch, which I've got to say, my experience is very unusual. Apple don't usually take the money several days in advance.
Yeah. So,
as things currently stand, I've got a phone coming tomorrow that I've got to tell DHL to hang on to until Wednesday, and another one that they've taken the money for, but which doesn't seem to have been dispatched. So I think the real sort of situation is Colour Me not very impressed with this process. I mean, if they're going to have a pre-orders process, surely they should open the store a little bit earlier and process all the pre-orders first.
I
think we've all had this, haven't we? Some years it works like a dream, other years it's a disaster. Unfortunately for me, this year it was in disaster mode. But I mean, I was sitting on our back channel, I think it was James, who by 10 past 1 had ordered his phone, and I'm thinking, well, I still can't get in the Apple Store. And I think Mark had the same experience, he couldn't get in until quite late either.
Yeah, it's very much luck of the draw, I think, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and you think, well, I mean, the bit that's even more frustrating is I just had an upgrade to my broadband, so I've got full fibre 500, so I've got a really, really fast broadband connection now, but I still couldn't log on. So yeah, it hasn't been the greatest of experiences from Apple there, but, you know, that's sometimes the way these things go, isn't it?
I suppose we may underestimate the sheer scale of what people are doing with this sort of thing.
I think that's right.
Probably, yeah, with that sort of thing. So what have you got coming? Fiona's 15 Pro, I'm assuming?
She's got a 15 Pro coming, yeah.
128 or 256?
128. Because she doesn't do video, so that's...
Yeah, I really wanted to just stick with black. I can't be bothered to get any other colours. I just want to stick to black. And I couldn't get one. I was toying with the idea during Friday. During Thursday, after I read the note, internal note, saying that we probably wouldn't get any on launch day, at least for a couple of days. And I was toying with the idea of getting one of these deals on ID Mobile, and it wasn't much more. I even went to the trouble of writing a calculator, or doing a spreadsheet with a calculator, and putting in what I thought inflation would be for the next 2 years, and yeah, a little play with that. And it was coming out, you know, I would then cancel the £16 a month unlimited Smartie that I've got. And it was coming out at roughly paying what you would pay anyway, dependent on inflation, which looks like it's coming down a bit, blah, blah, blah. And I would have gone that route, other than I simply did not trust that they were saying they'd still deliver it on Friday. I just didn't trust it, because the wording was very, very mealy-mouthed. It was like, oh, we'll let you know if anything changes. So you virtually guarantee once you place the order, you know. And you've been credit checked and everything else, so you're going to have to stick with it probably, blah, blah, blah. So I went down the route, and thanks very much to Dave Rich, because I probably wouldn't have even thought about doing that. And a couple of really nice people on Friday, I'll fully admit, I was you know, feeling bad for them. Lovely people, and I desperate to get one, and I told them what I did and told them to try it Saturday morning and get on there at 7 o'clock on Apple.
7 a.m. when it all goes live.
They reckon some people say 6 a.m. some people say 7 a.m. To put it on. And one of the ladies I spoke to said, I just tried Apple, it was no good. And I said, well, yeah, but it's 2:30. You won't get one by 2:30. They'll be gone, but you will get some. When I got to Norwich, there was two queues. There was a queue for us who had pre-ordered, and there was no, I mean, there was only one person in front of me, because we all had a 15-minute slot. Obviously, not everyone was going to hit that. I managed to hit mine absolutely perfectly, because I wasn't obviously too far away in Ipswich, 38 miles from mine to door-to-door. So, and there was a queue the other side, and I said to the fella, what are they doing over there? And he's like, well, they're waiting. This was curious, and I didn't really think to ask at the time. The shop was pretty full, and no one was being stopped from just going in the shop which I know in past launches, probably yesterday, the day before your actual launch day, they may have done that. You had to queue to actually get in the shop.
Yeah, I've had that experience. Yeah, it's really frustrating because you want to go in and get something completely unrelated.
Right. Yeah, I had that in Milton Keynes. We went once on the way to holiday, and I was looking for one. I got it from Carphone Warehouse in the end, but I was looking for one, preferably from the Apple store, and I couldn't even go in and ask. Then he said, well, they're over there because he said if people haven't picked up their if people don't pick up their thing. And the natural question I thought afterwards as I walked away would be, oh, so how long would mine have stayed? And then I thought, well, you can't take mine away. I've paid you for it. You know, you've got the money. So I don't know whether...
Have they taken the money or have they just sort of put a reservation over?
Actually, I don't know if they'd taken it. It was showing on the credit card, but I don't know
it's
if they've
like mine,
actually...
It's not like mine, but they've definitely taken the money.
Yeah, I think they've taken it. I think they've taken
it. But they haven't dispatched it, so I'm really sulking.
Yeah. So I don't know whether or not... some of them get reserved. I didn't ask, but it's interesting. If anyone knows, let me know that maybe it was. And he said, I don't think they're going to get one, but they're happy to wait for a little while to see if one becomes available. So maybe it was like if you didn't turn up Friday for one, perhaps they do refund you. I mean, I know John Lewis. If you order something off the web for delivery to a store next day, if you don't pick it up within 7 days, we automatically refund it and return it back to .com. Which is frustrating because if it's like an iPhone 15 Pro, I want to put it back in our stock, but we can't do that. We have to send it back, which is there you go.
That's the thing.
Picked it up 11:30 yesterday, got home roughly 1 o'clock, I guess. It was just a straight up and straight back job, really. Didn't hang around in Norwich. Very, very busy on a Saturday in Norwich. Opened it up. I just thought normally I will open them up. Like I've done it, I've been to Norwich on a few occasions, you know, and sat in the multi-story and opened it up and checked it for dead pixels. Didn't even bother doing that because it's such a rarity these days. You remember in the old days, you know, you could go through several before you got one without a dead pixel sort of thing, but it's just not a thing anymore. So took the flyer, got home, opened her up. Now the next stage of the exercise was that on my 13 Pro, I had Leica eSIM and a Smarty physical SIM.
Oh,
so
I'm interested to hear about this because eSIM in mine.
Well, yours will work fine in my opinion. So you do the normal setup, and of course I do these setups all day at work. And
but there's a special trick with this, isn't there? You have to upgrade the new iPhone to 17.0.2 or something.
Yeah, it was interesting when I was in the store.
How does that work?
Well, I said to the.
I can't remember it. Saying upgrade your phone. I mean, I've had this before where I couldn't do the thing properly because the old iPhone was on a more modern version of the system than the new one.
Correct. Yeah. So this is a little bit different. They'd had a few problems with direct transfers iPhone to iPhone because when you do it, you can do the automatic setup or you can do iCloud or you can back up to a laptop. We tend to go in order of direct. Then iCloud, and then if we get stuck, back up to a laptop and then restore. The direct one is the best one because it will transfer more of your passwords over and generally be a better setup. So there was a thing on Mac Rumors, I think it was, on Thursday night or Friday morning, saying just your best bet is an update. Did we get something through officially? I can't remember. Somewhere along the line, anyway. It said, update your new one to 17.0.2 before you try and transfer. If you're just setting up from new, no big deal. And it may go okay even if you don't
do
that.
That opportunity, because I'm trying to think about this. When you so, get the iPhone, don't you get told, don't you get to the transferring data before you do the update?
Yes. So what you would have to do, and what I was all set to do, is I was all set to basically go into the iPhone, set it up with no passcode, no Apple ID, nothing, just set it up basically, because you can set an iPhone up with nothing, no SIM, no anything. And then you can update the software, and then you'd have to erase it and reset it, and then go through. So I was all set. I was all set to do that, but late, very very late on Friday, there was a 17.0.1 release for the iPhone 13 Pro.
Which I duly
installed. Now I can only imagine that what that has done on the old phone is that has told the new phone now, he's going to do direct transfer. So now the new phone actually forces you to do the update as part of the setup. And I'm fairly convinced that 0.1 on the old phone has told the new phone, you need to update this before. We do get a lot of iPads and iPhones randomly now when we do setups. We do get them where you have to do, because part of our setup is we will update the OS to the latest, and they're never on the right version. In fact, it's one of the longest parts of the setup. And we get some now that force us to do that before we actually do the setup. So they know that they need an update. Like you say, it's probably just like one is 0.1 higher than the other or whatever. So basically, yeah, started the new one, and it updated itself before it presented the thing. But there was nothing about transferring a SIM, which comes up very early on. Comes up actually, I think, before it even starts the setup, because it kind of would like a SIM, you know, to help with the setup if you haven't got Wi-Fi. So that hadn't come up, and I found out later that at the end of the process, it basically just came up and presented me with both my phone numbers and said, I don't know what the wording was now, but basically not supported. Yeah, not supported. So Leica, which I think I knew in my heart of hearts, is not supported for that, because you can't even do a Leica transfer like you can an EE transfer. It's just not possible to do it. You have to buy a new plan. There's some really complicated way of doing it. So I had no thoughts that Leica would do it. And I spent ages porting out, porting in, faffing around to get my main number. Only because that main number is the one lodged with banks and God knows how many websites, you know, for codes and things like that. So your EE one is going to automatically do it, and it'll do it before anything else. And I think if you've got .01 on your old one, then... Oh, no, you haven't got your old one. No, have you still got your old one?
Yeah, I've still got that one. I'm still using it.
Yeah, you're trading it in, though.
Yeah, but what happens
is goes after.
Unlike Samsung, where they basically you pay the full price and then you send the phone off, and they credit it back to you whenever. You
know? Yeah.
So basically, obviously, as soon as I've got the new one up and running, I will send the old one back, because there's no point. I mean,
yeah.
Two main iPhones, is there?
No.
So you do get the opportunity at least to transfer over properly, and it'll go back in a week or so's time once the other one's up and running.
Yeah, and I assume if you don't send it, they just charge your card.
Well, no, they charge you the whole amount.
They do, right? Okay.
So basically, I mean, yeah, that's what's gone out of the bank is the full price.
Yeah, gotcha.
In the expectation that when I send them the old one, they credit me the the training van.
Gotcha. Yeah, so I think yours will transfer perfectly fine. What I've sort of decided to do, I've changed most of my numbers now to my other main number. I always had two main numbers, really. And I'm in two minds, or three or four minds, really. Do I need EE and Smarty now? Because ever since I got this Smarty SIM a couple of months ago, 16 quid unlimited. I mean, some days at work, it's basically getting up for 1,000 megabits per second some days. It's never less than about 500, which beats EE by a massive sort of margin. It doesn't seem quite as steady as EE. It'll be like high 1 minute and low the next, but generally I had no trouble with Smarty at all. So do I need another one? But it was this Leica thing at £6.99, so it's almost like a no-brainer, really. 100 gig of data on EE, essentially, for £6.99. So I don't know what to do at the moment. I've basically, at the moment, I've packed my main number out to a spare GIF gaff that I had sitting around, which happens on Tuesday, and then I'll decide. Then I've got my number safely on a SIM, not a SIM I can use in the new iPhone because I've already taken that slot up with the Smarty. But I may just stick to one, and then like next time I feel like I need a second one. You can now get an eSIM really within seconds, can't you? So it's really not a big deal. But what I'll have to do is I'll have to buy a new Leica eSIM, which, like I said, I can do any time. It takes minutes. It was getting a new one is faultless. They give you a QR code, you scan it, and it's up and running. And then I'll have to.
They haven't fixed the transfer yet.
Yeah, they just haven't. Yeah, simple as that.
Take up of eSIM in the UK is actually really very poor, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
When I was over in America in the spring, like, it almost seems to be the default there. You know,
well, it has to be. They haven't got a slot anymore, have they?
Well, an iPhone doesn't have a slot, so yes, of course it is. But like every network there was advertising eSIMs, you know, including all the sort of virtual ones.
Mm.
Probably driven by the iPhone, but I mean, I was listening to. Miriam Joar's podcast the other day when I was driving down from Stockton-on-Tees, and her guest, who's also based in America, was actually contemplating going over the border to Canada to buy one with a SIM tray.
Mm.
So it's not necessarily as popular as Apple think it is, but the networks have certainly picked up. I really thought that the networks here would have sort of taken their cue and said, well, you know, Apple is going to push this towards us, why don't we push it as well? But, I mean, there's only Leica that I know of that does an eSIM. I mean, you know, ignoring things like TruePhone and whatever, which are a bit specialist, but how many pay-as-you-go or cheap contract eSIMs are there? Not very many, are there?
No, absolutely not. Not at all. I think Leica are basically one of the first sort of cheap, you know, and how many 100 gig plans are $6.99? You know, that's incredibly good value, as we said a while back. But I mean, basically, I think I heard about figures of the fact that in America now, you say, you know, only the iPhones have got eSIM only, but in America, that is about 65-70% of all iPhones.
It's
ridiculous. Absolutely crazy, isn't it?
But yeah, equally, you walk into an American phone shop, and it's, you know, I mean, it's hard enough to walk into a phone shop, I appreciate, but you know, you go in there, and there's Apple, and there's Samsung, and if you're very lucky, there might be Google, and that's it. There's no sort of other choice. So the fact that iPhone has such a high penetration is mostly down to the deals they're doing with the networks. You know, there's not really very much mobile phone choice out there at all. And of course, they still have barbarian practices like SIM locking phones.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's say I'd gone over there and my phone had been stolen. I certainly wouldn't have replaced it like for like, even if I'd been prepared to have eSIMs, because the damn thing would be locked to a network.
Mm.
So, Not a great place from that point of view, I don't think.
No, absolutely. The rest of the setup was predictably Apple, really. Just the best transfer system in the world, as far as I'm concerned. Samsung get pretty damn close to it these days.
Samsung aren't far off these days.
They're not. But I mean, even Samsung can't literally just swap your watch over. I mean, it just blows my mind. The watch, you don't have to touch your watch; it stays on your wrist. At the end of the thing, it says, do you want to use this watch? Yes, please. Next thing you know, I'm assuming it's unpaired from the old one, but it's definitely paired to the new one.
Well, here's a question for you. Since I have two Apple watches, one that I wear when I'm asleep at night and one that I wear during the day, do you think it's like to swap them both over, or am I going to be left in this
world? I do not know.
If I ever get one, I'll report back.
Yeah. No idea, honestly, what that'll do. I'm kind of the first time for me it's ever swapped it. I think automatically.
It's the worst thing, isn't it, about changing my life?
Yeah, you've normally got to reset and then set up again and that sort of thing. It did. Let me try to think. Actually, it did something that I thought was a bit odd. Now I've lost focus on that. I can't remember now. So. Let's talk about the new iPhone a little bit. Now, for me, I skipped the 14. The 14, it didn't really do much for me, really. And of course, the, you know, the Pro went up in price. I think started off at 1,050, and this year they've got that magic 999 in by doing a bit of a sneaky, keeping the 128 in, which I think is a bit naughty on the Pro. Because, you know, it's called the Pro and it's got Pro Res, but you can't really use it on the 128. Of course, that
that's only where you've been for the last 2 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wouldn't want to use Pro Res, because if you had a 128 and they allowed 4K recording, you get about 6 minutes and your phone would be full. So,
I mean, it is interesting. I mean, this is the first time I've ever come anything like close to filling up an iPhone, and that's not taking ProRes.
No,
it's just the amount of stuff I've got on it.
Yeah,
now, I mean, if I were keeping it for another 6 months, I suppose the truth of the matter is I'd have to sit down and say, well, what am I going to drop off here? And there would be things, but even so, it's surprising. I've probably got 20-30 gigs more than I had on the 13 Pro Max.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though, right? There's lots of people are going, oh yeah, you know, you've got the USB-C now. Welcome to 2015. You know, Android world and stuff like that. But yeah. I think, and you know, thank you. Everyone in America is going, thank you, EU, for forcing Apple to do it. Well, first of all, my take is that first of all, they didn't have to do it until next year. If they really didn't want to do it.
Yeah, I think they're using it as a convenient whipping stick, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, they're like, you know, they kept it fairly low-key on the launch and everything about USB-C. But people are going, oh, it's a different connector. And I've already sent out a thing across our company saying, guys, you just got to watch out for this, because it's only going to be a week or so before someone crams a lightning connector, a lightning cable into that port and breaks the...
I'll tell you a funny story in a minute, but yeah, go on.
Breaks that thing, because if you look at the bottom of one, you know, any USB-C, there's a very thin line across it, which is plastic. All the connectors are connected to that. Yeah. Many's the day when someone comes in and says, I can't charge my iPhone, we get a SIM tool out, we have a poke around in the socket.
Full of fluff.
Yeah, it's full of fluff. You get the fluff out, they go, oh my God, you fixed it and you're a hero. You can't really damage the socket in there because the pins are all right around the edge and the actual pins are on the cable. So on that score,
it's a much better...
Much better connector on that score. Yeah, and that score alone, probably. So first of all, I'm not actually ever putting a SIM tool into a USB-C because it's not going to take much to mess that up in there. So that's never happening. And people will take them home and they will, you know, we're so used to saying, oh yeah, any of the cables you've got at home will charge it. Got to make sure all our sort of newcomers and everything know that it's a different socket. But everyone's going, oh yeah, okay, well, yeah, it still charges slowly and it's just a different connector, no big deal. I think it's a huge deal. I think USB-C is a massive, massive deal. And that was my thinking along the lines of I had to film a wedding ceremony and some of the other parts of the wedding reception and stuff the other day for a niece of mine, and I say I had to, I didn't have to, but I said I'd do it for them. I'd do a few for the family, nothing overly professional. And I got to the, I got a 1,700 quid and originally Sony RX10 Mark IV camera, which is a cracking camera. Got to the registry office a little bit early. They let you set up in the corner of the registry office. The side I wanted to go was the side where the windows were, so they were sort of behind me, obviously, but that was not possible because that's where one of the officials sat. So I'm literally having to point my camera at the windows. It's a very bright, sunny day outside, and my set up the camera on the tripod and looked okay. It looked like it was handling it okay. I'm no expert user of cameras, so I pretty much sort of stick to semi-auto on all these things. Had the iPhone 13 Pro, obviously, in my top pocket, no problem. And everything looked good. Set it off running. When the bride and groom got to the table, their heads literally intersected one particular window where the sun was probably the brightest. All of a sudden, you could barely see their heads, and the ceremony was just about to start. So without really giving it a hell of a lot of thought, I whipped the 13 Pro out, steadied it on top of the camera, which was on a tripod, and held it there for the 8 minutes that it took to get through the ceremony. And the footage from the iPhone is superb. It completely handled it. It was weird watching the camera just struggling and constantly changing light levels because their heads kept moving with this window shining through. Were I an expert camera operator, I would be able to counteract that, or if I had unlimited time, but I didn't. And the iPhone just breezed through it, no problem. Had the wedding have been this coming Wednesday instead of last Wednesday, I would have literally plugged my Samsung T7 into the bottom of this iPhone, and I could have recorded in ProRes directly to the T7.
Yeah, I mean there's a good you know, a good use. Although
unbelievable,
it could be a bit bulky, presumably. I've never actually seen a T7.
No. A T7 you could Velcro or stick to the back, elastic band it to the back of the iPhone. It wouldn't care. It's light as a feather. I think they're about 40-50 grams, something like that.
That's not a problem, is it?
Yep. None at all. And
I've got a little Crucial SSD that is even smaller. There's a couple of gigs on there, I suppose.
Same thing. Yes. Or indeed, I could have ProRes to this 256 iPhone because, you know, that's the thing. And that's got nothing to do with USB-C. But, you know, I would have had a USB-C cable in there, so you've got all that advantage of just having the one cable. But I think USB-C is going to prove to be quite a big deal for the iPhone. I reckon Apple are probably kicking themselves. They didn't do it a couple of years ago, to be fair.
I think so too. I mean, the thing that's really ironic here is that, I mean, you know, the 12-inch MacBook is probably the first thing I remember that pushed USB-C because it only had one socket, and you know that's what which is the 12-inch MacBook. It's a long time ago, anyway,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And you know, here we are. We've finally got an iPhone with this. Now, I agree with you. I think there are lots of things that they can do. The bit I am quite pleased about is they appear to put a standard USB-C C socket on it, not crippled it in all sorts of ways, which they are a bit prone to do, as we know.
Don't forget you've got the two different speeds. You've got USB 2 on the 15s, and then 3. And contrary to what some of the idiot press are trying to say, that is apparently totally down to the chip, not necessarily. So in other words, I don't think they could have put 3 on the Bionic 16 chip without a lot of work. Arguably, of course, they should use the A17 in that and have had it on the old one. But yeah, absolutely, they haven't restricted things. But I also like the idea that you can charge. I can use an Android phone to charge the iPhone. I can use the iPhone to charge another iPhone. It gives you that much more flexibility.
Stick your Apple Watch charger up the back of the iPhone and show us that.
You could, yeah, absolutely, you could do that. It definitely opens up a whole bunch of stuff, I think.
I think the thing is as well, though, let's be fair, it does create a lot of problems. I mean, you know, I have systematically gone around the house removing every lightning connector because I think it'd be so easy for anybody to pick the thing up and try and plug it in the phone and wreck the connector, as you were saying.
Mm.
And I was congratulating myself yesterday, thinking, right, okay, well, you know, I've replaced the one, I replaced the one in the bedroom. I've replaced the one in the kitchen. You know, so that's all fine. And I'm thinking, great, okay, well, I've got some Anker MagSafe pads. Really,
yep.
Nice, actually, smaller than the Apple ones, and cheaper as well. And they work just fine, and we're both quite happy using them. And I was thinking, great, I've actually got to a situation where lightning can be out of my life very soon, if indeed not now. But then I thought, and the reason I was thinking that was because we've both got AirPods 3. Well, okay, AirPods 3 obviously have a lightning connector, but they also charge on a MagSafe charging pad. So yep. Fine. Except, of all things, well, there are three things I've found that I can't easily do anything about this. The first one is I've got a MagSafe battery pack that I use when I'm traveling.
Well, yeah.
That can't be charged magnetically as far as I know. But the absolute showstopper is my iMac, because I've got a super funky Apple mouse with a lightning plug in the bottom and a wireless keyboard with a lightning plug in the bottom. So I have actually nearly managed to eradicate lightning sockets, but not completely. But, you know, it's a temporary problem, isn't it? I'm not going to go buy a USB-C keyboard or whatever or mouse solely to do that, but I suppose presently we're going to get USB-C trackpads, mice and keyboards coming out.
Yeah,
they'll have to, won't they?
I read somebody whinging online about, they expect me to buy new AirPods with a USB-C charging case, and I'm like, what? Why do they?
They do.
No, I don't think they do. It had an part of the interesting chat in the Apple shop was the guy said, "Do you want? I see you haven't bought AppleCare. Do you want AppleCare?" I said, "No." I said, "I struggle a bit with AppleCare because, again, working in John Lewis, we do it roughly for the same monthly payment as you, but we have a zero excess, literally zero." And he's like, "Oh, really? Blimey!" I said, "Yeah, your excesses really are taking the mick, to be honest." And he sort of, you know, was polite but didn't agree, obviously, with it. And I said, "Well, it's probably the reason you're the richest, you know, basically the most valuable company or one of in the world, blah blah blah." And you know, it's just a point of contact. But I mean, not that I can buy Protect Plus from John Lewis for my Apple thing. You know, it's part of me has wondered what will I do if I go back to work Tuesday and there's some 256s on the shelf. Literally nothing stopped me returning this one to Apple, is there?
No, not at all.
Because they don't care. Because I had half a thought to use it without a case, because it feels so lovely. The difference in hand feel between the 13 Pro and the 15 Pro without a case is quite remarkable, given that all they've done is made a slight change to the radius. But the actual that and the sort of softer feel of the whole thing, it feels great. And it's all very well, actually. Dave Rich, I think, is a bit into that, and he has the Apple Care. But that doesn't count. That doesn't help if you've scratched it across the screen, or it certainly doesn't with John Lewis, because cosmetic damage isn't included. It has to be physically broken. So maybe Apple Care does cover a big thick scratch across it. For the first time ever in an old iPhone, which is for sale, I've been very open on MeWe about it. I found a couple of weeks ago, just after the holiday, I found a tiny, tiny micro scratch on mine. And in the past, Leon has harangued me for saying there's no way I could sell an iPhone without micro scratches. And since then, many people have confirmed when they received my iPhone that there is literally nothing on it. And I don't have a screen protector. I don't like them. But now I've cleaned the iPhone up and put it on, I cannot photograph this little scratch. I can't even get, I know where it is and I can't see it, basically. If I get a torch and like a high intensity LED and get it on there, I can just about see it, with it switched off, but definitely not with it switched on. And when I was at Apple, actually, I saw the guy just away from me fitting a screen protector. So I thought, should I do it? It's here. They'll fit it perfectly. You know, they've got the machine. Shall I just get it done?
Just use it. They're standard Spigen screen protectors.
No, they use Belkin.
They used to be, because I actually watched the guy get it out of the packet when I was done by them. And I was thinking, well, I could have bought that and done it the same at home. And the machine, really, only just like a frame. These ones where you buy a frame, they're almost faultless.
Their machine isn't the same as that. Their machine is it's quite a bulky, not huge, but it's like an old-fashioned Visa machine where you used to swipe the thing through. And it has a roller inside, and it's got a special way of doing it. But then I noticed he had to actually rub the corners of this, and I was thinking, I'm just going to go and ask that lady in a minute if she's happy with it. And the guy that was serving me said, I've got one here, look, I've got one on a 14 Pro, that same guy did it for me. And he got it out, and it's in an Apple case, And there's like a 1 millimeter gap between. I said you've got a 1 millimeter gap between the case and the thing where you can see the phone. And he's like, oh, I hadn't really noticed that. And I'm like, oh, okay.
You have now,
mate. So I said, I'll pass, thank you. And I don't think I'll do it.
It's got to be said, when they put mine on, they didn't. One corner wasn't sticking down. He goes, one corner's not sticking down very well. You're not bothered, are you? I'm going, yeah, I am. I want it properly.
Yeah.
It's like they wanted 20-odd quid for this. I was thinking, if I'm paying 10 quid for somebody basically to use his machine, no, I want it to work. And so he was all right about it. He just took it off and did it again and got it right.
But, it's 35 quid now. So 35 quid now. Yeah. So,
At least I have cases and screen protectors for these iPhones. So I'm all ready. I just have a small shortage of iPhone.
Mm. Right, we're going to have an old man break. We really need a...
Are we playing the adverts now?
We need a sponsor, really, don't we? We need a sponsor, maybe incontinence pads or something like that. I don't know. We'll have to investigate that. I don't suffer from that, but we are just going to have a very quick old man break. Be back in a second. And we're back. Not that we went anywhere, as far as you guys are concerned. We are all refreshed, I think, and we can carry on. So I am standing, oh, not I'm sitting actually, I am looking, glancing at my lovely new iPhone, and I can see the time, the date, and there's a Gmail there somewhere, so I need to have a look at that and see what that, if that's important. Apple Store, explore your iPhone. And apparently I've left my iPhone 13 Pro behind, which is actually literally a foot away from me. So
some of these notifications are utterly bizarre.
Pretty terrible, aren't they?
Yeah. A number of times I've been told somebody else's AirPods are tracking me. And all it is the two of us are in the car together going somewhere. I think, really. But, yeah.
So let's talk Dynamic Island. No more Monkey Island. No more Monkey Island. No, let's be honest. You knew full well I'd have to, because literally, what choice do I have?
I've got any choice, but I'm just.
I've got no choice. Yeah, and I so by this time, 24 hours after picking it up, essentially, or not quite even that. I expected to be speaking through gritted teeth and going, yeah, whatever. I've got to live with it. Fact is, I really, really like it at the minute, which is kind of nuts.
Okay. You really have got a lot.
Which is nuts, isn't it? Well, at least I'm prepared to admit it and not just go, oh, yeah, you know, it's all right.
No, it's all right.
The bottom line, here's the thing, though. I'm going to caveat that a little bit. So I've now looked at my email. I've opened the phone up and I have a completely black background. So currently I'm on the home screen. I can't see Monkey Island. Dynamic Island. I can't see it. Literally can't see it. It's obviously not there because I've got a black background. So I'm going to go into Safari. I don't use Safari that much, but I'll go into Safari. JohnLewis.com is open, of course, and there's a cutout there. Now, first of all, it is dead central. It's completely even, both sides, so it's not one of these nonsense things. Bear in mind that this pretty much this cutout is what some Android phones had to the left, you know, which looked absolutely horrendous in my book, and I could never ever live with those. And there's nothing in it at the moment, obviously. One of the things I really enjoyed yesterday is on a Saturday in the UK, this is how mad football is, soccer for any American listeners, in the UK. If the game, last year, I swear I used to watch Ipswich, pay a tenner and watch them on iFollow. Well, iFollow's gone. And maybe I didn't do this, but apparently on any game that starts at 3 o'clock on a Saturday, it cannot be broadcast because the networks have bought those rights to it. So it can't be broadcast by anyone else. If it starts at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, that's fine. Sunday's fine. Tuesday night's fine. You can pay them your tenner and watch the game. So I went to do that and couldn't do it. So I thought, oh, God. You can't listen to it on DAB because they're not licensed to do the football. They play some nonsense instead. And so I thought, oh, God, I no longer have any way of listening to this. So I'll have to whatever. So I go onto the App Store. I get an app which I've had in the past and deleted called FOTMOB, F-O-T-M-O-B. And that has a live score thing. Select your team, and the live score appears in the island. It's just up there. It's just fantastic.
And then, it must have been a bit heart stopping for you yesterday, then.
Oh, it was incredibly so. Although by the time the second half came round, I thought, you're a plonker. You've got a Roberts radio over there, which does still have FM. And interestingly, this app was about a minute and a half behind on all the goals. But had you not got that, it would be awesome. It would literally, whatever app you were in, it would stay at the top there. And then when you...
That's right. You're saying that they could broadcast a live football on FM, but not on DAB.
They can do commentary. So BBC Radio Suffolk can do commentary on FM, but they cannot do it on DAB. Or internet. Just not allowed. The UK is a laughing stock, really, I think, in stuff like this.
It's true in Formula One as well.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's a sport that's money locked out by the broadcast.
Money just messes everything up, doesn't it? And then when it went into the always on display, it's then down at the bottom as a live thing. And I thought that was absolutely brilliant. I'm not so keen... Oh, just on the subject of always on display, you know how I've waffled for ages, like, you don't need AOD if you've got an Apple Watch, you know? I love it. I absolutely bloody love it. You know, yeah, you've got an Apple Watch on your wrist, but let's face it, you know, the older you get, the more effort is involved in turning your wrist and looking down, whereas you can just glance across to your phone and there is the time and the date. Absolutely perfect. So I love AOD. It's a very weird AOD because it doesn't actually stay on all the... I haven't quite worked it out yet because it doesn't stay on all the time. It definitely goes off when you've got a sleep profile, which I suppose is fair enough, really.
I mean, listening to Steve Litchfield this morning, he was suggesting maybe it should be called a sometimes on display. But that is an unfortunate acronym, which we perhaps need to go through. But the point about it is, yeah, if you've got a sleep profile, it overrides the always on display. Because I think it's probably fair to say, I mean, I have too much light in the room as well. Power cables and things. But nonetheless, it doesn't help more light when you're trying to sleep. So I think that's the... that's the logic behind
it. It's probably quite sensible.
Exactly.
It also doesn't move around the screen like Android phones do. So is screen burn going to be an issue? I wouldn't have thought so, but I thought Apple would have thought of that. And I don't think I've read much about it. There's a few YouTube videos about it, but none of them seem to show this screen burn. So they're just talking about it. So it's probably just clickbait stuff.
It's one of those theoretical risks, is my guess.
Yeah, so the other thing the island does is obviously if you play... So this morning I was looking for PSC. For whatever reason, it wasn't in Pocket Casts at the time. It is now. So I went to... did the little trick of editing the number on the URL.
Which indeed I did as well this morning.
Yeah, which you can, you know, you can do if you want it early. That's no problem. Of course, that then appears up the top there as well with a little symbol. In this case, just a little Chrome symbol, I think. And then the only thing that annoys me is the little music thing, you know, this flashing up and down all the time. I don't like that. But I don't know if you know this. You can't stop that doing that, but you can swipe it away on a one-off basis. So you just swipe...
I suppose I don't know that because I don't, you know, I mean...
If it doesn't annoy you, then you wouldn't have any cause to look it up like I did. So.
Well, it's more that I spend a lot of the day listening to music from my phone because that way it doesn't disturb anybody else. And also when the phone rings, it cuts the music and I can answer the phone.
Yeah.
But I'm working, so the phone is down beside me. I'm not looking at the display at the same time as I'm listening to music.
No, no. So so I've just started a podcast playing, a random podcast, and now it's got this week in Google at the top. You can just about see that in a little icon, and it's got the little bars going up and down on the side. If I swipe that now, it's gone, and it won't come back until I stop playing that podcast and restart something else. So actually, that's not an issue either. So it's really good. And I mean, I haven't really seen any of the other stuff that it does. I haven't had a call come in yet where it sort of opens up. And the bottom line is the actual thing, I don't see it enough for, at the moment, I'm not seeing it enough for it to bother me. What I haven't done yet, and I'll do live, is I haven't looked at a YouTube, but I believe we've already covered this. And it doesn't cause any problem at all. What shall we have a look at? Why is it that? Oh, that'll do, whatever that is. Mr. Mobile, always good. So we'll turn that way. Yeah, it cuts into the thing, and that's going to annoy me, I think. That is annoying. So obviously Mr. Mobile's is in that particular format where there is now a notch in the corner, but no different. Well, it is different, because if I then zoom in... Oh, okay. I can zoom. Apparently, I can zoom enough to get rid of the. No, I can't. I can't get rid of it. No. So that is in there, but that might annoy me. Having said that, I don't know if it will annoy me, because I very rarely watch YouTube on the phone anyway, and if I do, I'll be more interested in the content. So.
I think to be honest, I'm sorry. It's like a lot of these things. You're just going to forget about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already way beyond expectations on what I'd be thinking of it by now. So absolutely no issue at all, to be quite honest. Now I have a podcast playing that I can't stop. Okay, here we go. Stop. Mr. Fisher. Love Mr. Fisher, but don't want him on while we're recording. Other stuff to talk about, I guess, is the action button. I never use the mute button, did you?
Seldom, but then the main reason is because I normally have the sound off anyway.
Yeah.
Which might be a bit eccentric, but I actually have to make a positive effort to turn the ringer on. I don't generally have the ringer on.
I'd never used it. So to me, it's a gain, not a loss. It's no loss to anyone, really, because if you hold it down, it turns it off. If you hold it down again, it turns it back on. So it's exactly the same button.
To a camera button, to be honest, it'd be more well, for me than a mute.
That's interesting you say that, because that was my first thought, is I'm going to do a camera button, obviously. But what I do for camera is basically from the lock screen, I swipe left. And you're straight into the camera. I don't think I've ever used the camera icon on the home screen. So I don't think I'm going to need it for that.
The one that causes me the most problem, yeah, you're quite right, is muscle memory with double-clicking the power button. Because obviously that doesn't actually launch the camera for obvious reasons.
No.
But the problem is that every so often I manage to do it three times. And what that does is it launches voice control. And I have yet to find a quick way of getting rid of bleep, bleep, bleep voice control, because before you know where you are, the damn thing is recording everything you say. And if you unlucky enough to include some of its buzzwords, it starts doing things as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Yeah. So at the moment, if I press and hold my action button right now, I am now recording a voice memo. I don't use voice memos hugely.
So I don't use voice memos?
Well, I don't, but the reason I don't is they're a pain in the bum to get going. So I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to leave it on voice memos for now. I've certainly had things in the past where I've been speaking to someone and I'm thinking, wish I'd have recorded that, for various non-dodgy reasons. But, I wish I'd have actually recorded that so I could listen to it later and remember what we said and what we spoke about, like in a meeting or something. I haven't found a way of doing that without it bleeping loudly. So obviously someone else. But then people's phones bleep loudly all the time anyway. Then you can press the island. That takes you straight. That was the other thing. Something was happening in the island yesterday, and I tapped it, and it takes you straight to it, of course. So I'm now being taken to that recording, and then I can play that back.
Voice memo.
And it does a...
I don't use voice memos.
There you go. Just in case anyone thought it wouldn't work. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's the most exciting thing, of course, is you can assign that button to a shortcut, which opens up the entire world, really, of iOS. And these days, I don't know, again, if you know this, because I think we all find shortcuts a little bit confusing. in some respects. You've got to write these shortcuts. I've done a few, but nothing adventurous. Other people write them, and you can just use those, of course. But now it actually includes... A lot of apps now include built-in shortcuts to do things within that app without ever running the app. So there's, again, there's a whole world of stuff happening. And it's an interesting move because, you know, everyone thinks Apple's going to give, is going to try and take all the buttons off and be buttonless and holeless and everything else. This sort of suggests a move almost in the other direction. Although I guess a push button is no less reliable than a slide button, but...
I think, to be honest, that's all a little bit pie in the sky, because the trouble with that is, yeah, I agree, the more you can seal the thing up, then the less water is likely to get into it, and that clearly is a good thing. But the problem really with it is that until you've got really, really reliable connections with the phone, instead of a USB-C plug, for example... you're going to always struggle to completely seal the thing up, I think. And especially now they've tried to make it more repairable and not glue all the parts down, well, that seal's going to be gone as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think that idea is one that probably has had its day. At least I hope it has, because I don't like the idea of that one very much.
No, me neither. I don't even like the idea of us going the eSIM only, because literally, that was the case, I would not have been able... I wouldn't have a SIM in my phone at the moment.
But to be honest, Kev, I'd be delighted if I could get a dual SIM iPhone.
I think I'd be happy with that.
From Hong Kong. I never actually got around to it. But no, I mean, no, eSIMs to me are just a bloody nuisance. Because, well, you know, take now, where you're looking to switch from one phone to another and you haven't got adequate support. So your effective solution is, well, I'll have to lose that SIM. Well, If like me, that SIM is your business phone number, that's not really a viable option, is it?
No. And I mean, it also means, actually, just as an aside, it means I can't really post. If I sell the iPhone 13 Pro, which I've been upfront about, I can't really post it until the transfer's been done. Because I don't really want... If I delete it, I will delete that eSIM. Now I've asked for the pack, actually... Interesting question for you. I've asked for the pack. I've got the pack. I've already given the pack to GIFGAF. So I actually think the swap would go through whether or not I deleted that eSIM off the phone or not, don't you?
I think it would too, yeah.
Because it's not linked to knowing that it's still live. But if that then goes tits up, then I've got and I've got rid of the SIM, then I'm never, ever getting that number back.
No.
If the pack goes wrong, you know, because I can't ask for another one. I think the thing
you'd
is...
you'd have to ring them up or contact them.
Yeah, you'd have to make some phone calls, wouldn't you? I went to change... For example, you might know the answer to this. I went to... I put Telegram, obviously, on the new one, or the transfer process put Telegram on the new one. But, of course, you've got to log in again and set it up. So I did that. And it said enter the phone number you use, and I thought, oh god, there's another one of my main ones. It was no issue, of course, because the code came through to the old iPhone 13 Pro, and I'm up and running, so it was no issue at all. But I thought, oh, I need to go over and I need to change that to my smart eSIM, because I'm pretty much committed to this smart eSIM, £16 a month, unlimited, working brilliantly for me. So I'm committed to that. And when I went to Telegram and said, change my number, please, it said, oh, you've already got an account with that. Can you please go and delete that account first before we can change your number? How do I now find how have I got an account linked to that number? I got no idea. I must have another Telegram account somewhere.
You must have had a failed setup sometime where you put the wrong number in or something.
Must have done. I guess I'm going to have to get onto their support and see if they can track it by number or try and log in by number and use some of my regularly used passwords. I don't know. But, yeah, going back to just very briefly, going back to the thing I was talking about, USB-C, my only disappointment about that recording direct to a T7, because it's not the recording to a T7 that's exciting. For me, what's exciting is you haven't got to faff about getting your getting your video off the iPhone and on to whatever you're trying to edit it on. You can just unplug the T7, plug the T7 into your computer, and you've got everything on there. But the only disappointment with that is you currently cannot record ordinary video directly to the T7 or take photos to the T7. Only ProRes. Only ProRes. Yeah, it is odd, and I don't know what that is all about. And hopefully that's just a firmware fix away from being able to record everything directly. Have Apple done it? Because people will rapidly realise they don't need a 1 terabyte iPhone. Let's face it, the profit margin on a 1 terabyte iPhone is not proportionally slightly more than a 256 or a 128. It is massively more.
Enormously more, yeah.
Because they charge you a couple of hundred quid every time you double up the storage, and they pay about $10 for that. So maybe 20. So that if they allow people to record straight to the... And, of course, the T7 is probably big and bulky and heavy compared to some that you either can currently buy or will soon be able to. And
how much storage space you got in your T7?
One of them's got 1 terabyte, the other one's got 2.
Mm. So you've got pretty much limitless storage in there.
And let's face it, how long will it be before there's a 1 terabyte tiny USB-C thumb drive?
Oh, not very long at all.
In fact, it probably already exists.
I should imagine it might. Yes, exactly what I was
thinking. And you haven't even got... You've got no faffing. You'll just plug it into the bottom. It will stick out ever so slightly. And you'll record straight away, and then people won't be needing to buy 512 or 1 terabyte versions of the phone, will they? Which is pretty much pure extra profit for Apple on each one sold above the base.
It cuts it out, doesn't it?
Yeah. So I don't know whether that's whether that's the reason or not. I don't know. There's obviously no technical reason that I can see, but. Yeah, interesting. Anyway, I love it all. I'm a convert to Dynamic Island at the moment. Driven completely, in fairness, by the fact that if I want to keep up to date on iPhone, I've got no choice.
You've kind of got no choice, have you? Well, you could buy a 14 Pro, but you still...
No, I couldn't.
14 Pro wouldn't do. You'd have the island on that.
Yeah, can't even buy a 15 anymore without getting it. So there you go.
No. Which is interesting, if you look at the I've just been playing with the Apple website, I can get a 15 or a 15 plus for delivery 5th to the 10th of October, but the Pros are now the last week of October.
You can just pop down the road to John Lewis and buy as many 15s and 15 pluses as you want.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Tons of them.
Unfortunately, the short answer to that is zero, so not really going to be an issue, but yeah.
I will also say that because I toyed with the idea of 15 plus, especially when I realised we wouldn't get a Pro. And I toyed with the idea because I thought, well, it's nearly got all the cameras. Not quite, but it's nearly got the cameras from the 14 Pro. It's and it's only $799 or $899 if you want 256, which I wouldn't necessarily want on a 15 plus or 15 because it doesn't have ProRes video anyway, so I wouldn't necessarily need it. I'd go 128. And then I thought, well, hang on a minute, the Pro is this year is only $200 more. Of course, I paid $300 more because then I wanted the 256 Pro. But it seems to me that the better value this year is the Pro. If that extra $200 or $300 isn't the difference between you eating and not eating or paying your rent or not paying your rent or mortgage. If that's not the case, which for a lot of people, certainly for John Lewis customers, it isn't in the main, I should add. Maybe I think the Pro is the one to go for, although it will probably mean waiting a couple of weeks or a month or whatever. So I don't know. It's sort of that thing all over again where I'm quite happy to sell. I'm quite happy to get rid of the Flip now. In fact, that may have just sold potentially. Yeah, that has actually. That has actually sold.
There you go.
Yeah, so the flip has now sold, which is good. And with the proceeds from the flip and the iPhone, then it's not cost me a lot at all, really, in real terms. Talking of that, I've got the iPhone locked in. I've stuck it on MeWe at 550. I've actually got it locked in for £585 with a company called Smart Cellular. But looking at Trustpilot and speaking to Leon in the back channel and stuff, I don't trust them. You know, I don't trust them to pay that. Music Magpie, until very recently, was about £550, £560. It's now dropped like a stone now, I guess, because there's millions of them, so they've actually dropped it. And they're not selling them now for much more than sort of... For £550, you can get like an average or a fair or a good... I would certainly put mine in very good, 90% on the battery life, that sort of thing. So it's 550 if anyone's interested. The flip is now sold, I believe.
I think that's one of my big worries about the 15 Pro Max. I mean, I think I've just been very... I use the iPhone pretty much all day. Sometimes I literally spend several hours on the phone or listening to music, but it's used pretty damn heavily. More than any other phone I get at any one time, because my work sim lives in it. And the battery health is still 98, and in fact, 2 weeks ago, it was still 100, so it's only just gone down to that. So
yeah.
I hear some of these stories about, the 14 range didn't have very good batteries. Well, yeah, I think I was lucky I got a good battery.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, actually, interestingly, on these new ones, you can now see when your battery was born. And when it was activated and how many cycles it's had. So I have, for example, you go into general and then about, I think...
Is that an iOS 17 thing or is that a...
I have no idea if it's that or...
Tell me where it would be.
It's general, about at the very bottom. Underneath the IMEI number. No. Or IMEI2.
No, nothing.
No, I think it's a 15 Pro thing. The manufacturer date of my battery is August 2023. Mm-hmm. The first use is September 23, and interestingly, the cycle count is 1, and I've had it on charge 3 separate times. I think that bears that out, because
that might be the solution.
Yeah, I think that bears that out because I've had it plugged in at least 3 times. I've never gone to 100% yet, although it went to 98 last night and then I unplugged it.
Sort of depends on what you define as a charge cycle as well.
So Apple are certainly not counting each time you plug it in which I don't know whether I thought they ever did or not. Basically, now apparently somewhere there's the option to only ever charge it to 80%, or is that?
Yeah, it's apparently in there, yeah.
Charging optimization. Yeah, so you can do optimized 80% limit and none. So that's interesting because that was in the S23 Ultra as well. No, sorry, it's in the Flip. I don't know if it's in the S23 Ultra, it's in the Flip. Which I think I did actually tell it to only ever go to 80%. I can't remember. I mean, I don't tend to worry too much because a battery's only ever been about £80 for an iPhone, and that's with Apple doing it properly. So I've never really worried too much about it, because if I genuinely couldn't have found the money for the... For the 15 Pro, I would have just sent the... Well, I wouldn't send the battery away yet because it's on 90%, but when it got to 80, then I'll probably send it in and get it done, you know?
You would, yeah. I mean, on the S23 Ultra, there's an option in the battery settings to limit maximum charge to 85%.
Oh, it is in there now, yeah.
I found something quite interesting about this not so long ago. I've got a client who's involved in electrification of all sorts of projects, but mostly vehicles, but not all vehicles. Some of the things are actually quite unusual. And they spent a day at Warwick University talking to people about battery tech and whatever. And they were what they came back with was quite an interesting sort of story, which was that the people there were going, just because it says 0 to 100% on your display, there is absolutely no way that's what's actually happening. What's actually happens is that the battery probably, when it says naught, is probably as much as 20 to 25%.
Yeah.
When it says 100, it's probably more like 70 to 80 or 90%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because if you get to the extremes of the lithium-ion pack, it basically screws the pack up if you let it go that flat or if you charge it too much.
So yep.
to protect
yep.
the battery, you're only ever charging within a sort of middle range. Now, I suppose the fact of the matter is if the electronics will only let you charge that middle range, then 0 to 100 is perfectly realistic for your use, but it isn't actually realistic for the battery in question. So I'm a little bit sceptical about whether restricting it charging to 100 actually makes very much sense, because if it's only charging to 80 or 90% anyway, you've still got this leeway. But and certainly, I mean, I just put my phone on charge every night and it's 100% in the morning. And like I say, until last week, it was showing 100% battery health, and it's been pretty much hammered, actually. I've got to say, it's had pretty heavy use.
So you know what that means, don't you? The fact that yours is still at 100, it means that it probably had 105% at manufacture.
Yeah,
because I read an article about that, and I think Steve's spoken about that in the past.
Maybe
that,
even more,
or even higher. Yeah. I've been talking a lot about batteries as well, or reading a lot and looking stuff up, because I think, as you remember, my very first try to ride my e-bike, which we dragged all the way to Wales, the battery failed. And so during reading, again, that subject came up is because someone, you're basically told not to long term store a battery at 100%, but people were saying actually on an e-bike battery, most of the manufacturers recommend just fully charge it in the winter and then top it up 1 hour a month. And that is exactly right, because when you've topped it up to what will look like 100, because all the lights light up, is not 100 anyway, it's about 80. And an hour a month will keep it at around about 80, even though you think it's 100%, but it never is. Yeah.
Yeah, it really, I mean, this was a much heavier duty consideration than a phone or even a car that they were going to talk about. But even so, they were saying the principles behind the technology are the same, that you actually only use a part of the battery capacity. Mm. Anything else damages its longevity. Well, that being the case, I wonder whether restricting it to 80 or 85 or 90 actually really makes an awful lot of odds, or whether it's more to do with looking like it makes a lot of odds.
Yeah, yeah.
Says he, being a bit cynical.
Probably, yeah, probably. Just trying to think what else to touch on with this. Obviously, you've covered USB. I was a little bit disturbed with the demo phones, because when we started playing music on them Friday, sounded awful. Sounded awful. We had to play with the EQ on them, which I've never done with an iPhone, to be honest. And the sorry, I'm just pausing because I'm hearing a weird water running noise, and I thought I was on my own, but Jackie's obviously come in. Yeah, once we'd EQ'd them, they were okay. So whether the demo software is running wrong, I mean, there's nothing wrong with this one. It sounds just as good as the iPhones have ever sounded. And I haven't touched the EQ on mine, so that's obviously fine.
There's another way I mod. I do occasionally listen to it like that, but usually I listen to it on headphones. I've thought of something else that's only got a lightning connector.
Yeah.
For the AirPods Pro Max.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Seems I'm destined to hang on to the lightning connector.
I don't think in reality. Well, yes and no, I suppose. Yeah, you're not going to be able to get rid of those leads totally, are you? I could literally throw away. Could I? Let me think about it. I haven't got Maxes anymore. I've got ordinary ones. I'd have to have one in the bedroom because I still use an old pair of AirPods. Which haven't got MagSafe. Other than that, I could charge them via MagSafe. Or now, of course, we can yes, you need a lightning cable, but you can just plug them into the bottom of your new iPhone and they will charge, obviously wired, reverse wired charging, not reverse wireless. I've never found, with all the Android phones I've had, I've never really, other than to play, I've never really seriously reverse wirelessly charged headphones.
I've only ever used that once, and that was when I was away in Amsterdam, in fact, and realised I'd left my toothbrush charger at home, and the toothbrush was low.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, it actually worked, didn't it? Yeah,
P30 actually worked, which was quite amazing.
But you couldn't use the P30 while you were doing it, though, could you?
Well, it would have been a bit difficult with the toothbrush.
Exactly. Well, that is my point. I mean, if you plug it in...
I might have been able to. No, come on. Let's be honest. I might have been able to. If I had done it hands-free, I probably could have done.
I guess. Well, didn't have to face down. Can you do that with a face down?
Well, you make the phone call. You're on
I guess so.
You turn the phone over and stick the toothbrush on top of it.
I guess so. Yeah, I don't...
an enormous amount of power.
In my book, I guess because I never make or take phone calls, I don't really consider making a phone call using the phone. But yeah, I guess that just about qualifies. Yeah, I don't. All I get is spam calls, basically. But... and that was one of the... I've had loads lately, actually, spam calls, and I tend to answer them and just play with them, people on the other end, which I feel bad about afterwards. But
no, but you shouldn't though, because actually you're doing a service, aren't you?
Yeah,
that's
how I look at it. Yeah.
Then you're wasting their chance to con somebody who might actually fall for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I still remember with great pleasure the American guy I had who kept wanting me to press the start button and. You know, I started off by powering the computer down as far as he was concerned. I'm going, well, okay, it's all switched off now. He goes, no, you're supposed to press start. I said, well, okay, so I'll press start. I powered it back on again. And this went on for the better part of 10 minutes. And I'm going, well, I can't see a start button other than the one that I've just pressed. And he was getting quite irritated with me, actually. There's got to be a start button. There must be a start button. I'm going, well, why? And after about somewhere between 10 minutes and a quarter of an hour, he said to me, right, okay, I'll look up where the start button is. Tell me what computer it is. So at that point, of course, I was going, oh, Mac Mini. And it was quite funny because he was getting quite annoyed, really. And I thought, great, that's wasted a quarter of an hour of your day and saved somebody from being messed around like that. They just are the scum of the earth, these people. You shouldn't feel guilty about it.
Indeed. I'm just trying to think if there's anything we haven't touched on the 15 Pro that we should talk about.
How is the screen compared with the 13? Is it brighter?
Yeah, so here's my take, and as a couple of days have gone by, or it's not a couple of days, it's not even, it's just barely 24 hours, I can now have the screen, so before, when I had the screen at sort of 90%, I was always aware that extra 10% on the 13 Pro was what I really wanted, but it did, you know, it did eat battery, obviously, you know that. I can now have it at 90% and be completely happy. I'll just turn it up to 100 for a minute. I don't particularly want it at 100. 100 on the new one is a bit too bright even for me.
How do you get a percentage on that?
I don't. I'm guessing. Yeah, I'm guessing it's 90.
I would guess, just to make you laugh, mine is probably about 35%.
Yeah, if I go down to 35%, I can see everything. I could work with it. I would have to turn it up if I'm taking pictures because it looks so dowdy. But I wouldn't enjoy it. That's the difference. I wouldn't enjoy it.
Maybe that's why my battery's still...
Yeah, that's certainly a massive reason of why yours is 100. How old is yours?
I got it at launch.
So 1 year. Yeah, and mine's 90, and that's the difference. That's simply that. There's nothing else going on. Unquestionably. Because obviously I am charging it more often than you are, considerably more often, given that yours is a Pro Max as well. So if yours would show cycle counts and mine would, I'll probably be, you know, 1.5 times the cycle counts of you, probably. So that's exactly physics coming into play, isn't it? And we're not even a physicist, you know. I mean, you know, we haven't got a physicist on the show like some shows have, and we can work this out.
I've got a grade BO level. Does that count?
I don't know. I've got to think I'm trying to think what subject I took science and got a C, I think, or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think
something like that. I think I'd done better in rural science than I did in science, but I still can't grow things. I think it's an excellent upgrade if you've got anything. I mean, obviously, only crazy folks will upgrade from a 14 Pro, such as you.
Well, yeah, that's true.
If you've got a 13 Pro, I think it's a good upgrade. If for nothing else, I laughed when I heard people say I'm upgrading just because of the USB-C, but I can almost, but not quite. Back to the screen, I think my initial reaction when I started looking at it is because I'd been saying that the Samsung S23 Ultra screen was a better screen than the iPhone. I don't even know if they've changed the screen, but it looks like a nicer screen. But that could just be the extra brightness, and that's what
I'm blessed to have two particularly good Android screens, because I've got a Pixel 7 Pro, and the screen on that is just stunning. It really is a really good screen.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it is a Samsung screen from record.
Even now, when I turn the Flip on, I mean, I barely use the Flip, but when I turn the Flip on and look at it, I sort of do think, oh, this is such a nice screen. But then I don't necessarily like the fonts and the font sizes and things. That was what I was going to mention. I remembered from earlier on PSC this morning, Andy, great guest, was saying that he went for the...
He was. I'll second that.
Great guest. Been some great guests on there lately. And he was saying that he goes for the Max because he's getting old. I mean, he's getting old. He's 49, but he's getting old, apparently. I don't know what that makes us. Because he can, you know, it helps with eyesight. Well, I don't agree with that, because I don't think there's... To me, there's very little difference between a Pro and a Standard in terms of what you can see on an iPhone. You'll get an extra couple of lines of text.
I agree with you, to be honest. I mean, it's more down to what font size you choose.
Exactly. You can certainly up the... Now, to be fair, you can't up the font size too much on an iPhone, because I'll tell you why. We get customers coming in all the time. I guess the demographic of John Lewis and Waitrose customers is towards the older range than the younger, which is something I guess we've got to change as well. They'll come in and they'll say, look, I can't... I had several, actually, over the course of time. I had a lady very recently come in and said, your website's broken. I'm on your website. Your website's broken. I want to buy these shoes and I can't choose a size. And what they've done is they've whacked their text size up so much that the website couldn't cope. Okay, that's bad website design, probably. But it couldn't cope. And it wasn't just that website. She was having trouble on M&S. She was having trouble on ASOS or whatever other one she was on. And I quickly lowered the text size and said, there you go, there's the shoe sizes. Yeah, but I can't see it. I said, well, yeah, chicken and egg, I'm afraid. You'll have to, if you're buying clothing, you will lose little boxes like that, because the website cannot cope with you zooming in to the largest font, I'm afraid. So I sold her an iPad, actually. No, I suggested an iPad. I said, if you get an iPad, you won't have to go quite so big with the font. But that isn't strictly true, is it? Because she needs a certain font size. So what she actually needs is new glasses in some ways. But I find if you have the brightness high and you have the bold font on, I am forever turning bold font on for customers. And they go, oh, my God, that's so much clearer.
Yeah, I agree.
And if you try bold font on an Android phone, any Android phone, even Samsung, it's just not the same thing at all.
Very, very close to going for a Pro, and in the end, there were two things persuaded me to get the Max. One was because I want to see what this bigger zoom is like.
We haven't talked about the cameras.
No, we haven't. Let's talk about the cameras.
Yeah.
The cameras are basically identical to each other, except for the zoom, isn't it? Which is three times on
three
the Pro,
instead of five, yeah.
Five on the Max.
Now, yes.
I think it remains to be seen. I mean, Steve put a quite interesting article up about, but hang on a minute, this leaves you effectively with a much bigger digital bit in the middle before you switch to the telephoto. And I mean, he was speculating about how good, bad, or indifferent that would be.
And
I think maybe the jury's a little out on that yet, but nonetheless, he makes a point. But to me, having something I can Zoom with is, you know, well worth having. I mean, for example, I'll send you a picture I took out of my downstairs window this morning of a fox in our garden, which I couldn't have done without having a decent Zoom. So I use it for that sort of thing. However, if the sum total of most of your pictures is portrait, for example, well, then it's less important to you. I take almost no portrait shots except at, you know, limited times a year, because the people I would obviously take portrait shots of are my grandchildren. Two of the three of them live abroad, and the other one lives 200 miles away, so I don't get to see them very often. My call for lots of portrait photos is extremely limited. But on the other hand, you know, I'm just going to send you this now on Telegram. It isn't the world's best photograph on Zoom, but I get far more use out of that than I do out of portrait.
I would. So what is this? S23 Pixel Ultra?
No, this is Pixel 7 Pro.
Pixel 7 Pro with the Super Res Zoom, or whatever they call it, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd love to see that. I would love to see that on the 14 Pro on your 3x optical and then squeezed in a bit.
Yeah.
Because I don't reckon it would. I don't reckon it'd be a lot worse.
No, maybe not. No,
in my opinion, because I mean, don't take this the wrong way, and you've already said as much. But I don't. That's not a picture you'd want to frame and put on your screen, on your wall.
No, it isn't. But maybe I'm odd. I never print pictures. I actually think they look better on a screen than on a wall, anyway. No, but the point about that is that it was a picture I used to Zoom on,
and you wouldn't have got it necessarily without. Yeah.
No, and I took it on the 7 Pro for the simple reason I was making a cup of tea, looked out the window, and there it was. And it so happened I was listening to PSC on the 7 Pro. So that was the camera I had to hand.
Yeah.
But that's far more the sort of photo I take than ever portraits are. So the question of being a problem with portraits is one that I'm less fussed about. I mean, I don't like this bokeh effect. I think that in the fullness of time, people are going to go, oh, those pictures were taken between this date and this date, because they're a gimmick. Maybe they're not. Maybe I'm the one who's wrong on that. But to me, they don't appeal. So actually having a better Zoom appealed quite a lot to me. It will be interesting to see how, because the way they've done this is a bit different from a periscope Zoom. They're using prisms and whatever, aren't they?
Yeah.
I don't know whether that will turn out to be a better option or a worse one, and whether their software will turn out to be better or not. I have seen several comments to the effect of, well, this is really a new way of doing this that's a variation on a theme, and they probably are going to take several goes to get the software right. Well, it might be that the thing is not that much of a benefit, or it might be, but I thought, well, I'm interested enough to give that a go.
Sure.
You know, when I go out on holiday, I take loads of photographs. Good part of them end up in scrap, but it's a very good way of flattening a phone battery. So I thought I'd rather have the one with a bigger battery. So that was my logic. But there's a bit of me thinks, oh, I wish I'd gone for a Pro, because I have this battle every year. I think I have a 13. Yeah, I have a 13 Pro. I'm wondering now. I had a 13 Pro Max. I'm trying to remember if I had a 12 Pro or a 12 Pro Max.
I think you were Max all the way through, actually, till the when you went to the small one. But
one year I went back to a Pro and didn't like it, and ended up buying the Max. That was, I think, the one that was the issue. The perfect size for me would be somewhere between the Pro and the Pro Max.
So I think the fact that we've kind of like suddenly thought, oh, we better talk about cameras before we go, is the fact that we're not camera centric like Steve or Miriam or those people.
I take a lot of photos, but they're just snaps.
Yeah, we just hit the button.
Have time for them. If I were retired, I probably would like to spend some time developing that, actually, but it's just something I don't have time for.
Yeah, so I wanted to put the advert up for the iPhone this morning just to get a few eyeballs on it. I think lots of people look at it on a Sunday, MeWe. And I use the new system a little bit, and I really like this, because I don't think in 1x, 2x, 3x. I think in millimetres, because I'm from film cameras. I used to take slides, used to develop them all myself, so I'm very much film. So now in the normal 15, this is on the 15 Pro, in the normal photo app. You've now got 0.5, which is obviously the ultra wide. You've now got 1x. And if you press 1x again, it 1x is 24mm, which it always has been. That's fine. If you press it again, it goes to, and it goes to 1.2, but it briefly shows you that it's 28mm. And then if you press it again, it's 1.5, which is 35mm. Now, funnily enough, very very trivial thing. I usually take my pictures just by stacking the things up on the armchair, arm of the armchair, and I video them. And usually there's a little comment from someone because I've included a computer screen in the background or something, and someone makes a joke about whatever's written on the computer screen. So this time I thought, that's not happening. I'm cropping in. And of course, this is the thing. People keep saying, oh, those three then are digital. Well, actually, they're not digital at all. They are just cropping in on the center of the thing. So they're still fully optical, apparently. Yeah. And people are criticizing Apple for saying it had 7 lenses. And I did as well at the first, because that's outrageous. But I can't find anything from Apple that says it's got 7 lenses. The only thing I've found is it's got 7 focal lengths, which is a different thing altogether.
It's typical Apple, isn't it? They spent a long time trying to work out how they could give the impression it had got 7 lenses when, in fact, it's got 3.
Mm.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, the downside, of course, of cropping from the sensor is you get less resolution. But if you've got enough resolution in the first place, it's not a problem.
Well, you've got 48, and that's obviously producing 24 megapixels now, and you only had 12 before, so you'll still have as much resolution.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, to be tested, but I'm not going to go out testing cameras. I'll take the pictures and video that I want, and then I'll go like, yeah, that's really good, or no, it's not.
I mean, I share a few pictures with my friends, but I don't really generally share any of them anywhere. And I never print anything out, you know.
Mm.
I actually think it's better in a way on a screen, because the light behind it is often more real than looking at it on a wall with shadows or glass or something
absolutely.
Like that in a way. So I actually prefer it on a screen. Maybe it's partly my eyes as well. But no, I'm quite looking forward to trying that out. Although, since I have got 2 other phones with good zooms, the question is really why.
Because it's still your main phone, I guess that's why.
I think that is the reason.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing is, I mean, you're never gonna if I were in a situation where I could get my hands on 1, let alone 2. But if I could get my hands on a Pro and a Pro Max and have a play with them for a fortnight, maybe I'd say no, I'd be happy with the Pro. But I think it would be a slight leap to say, well, I'm going to go for a Pro now, because if I don't like it, it'll be 2 months before I can replace it.
Yeah, and I mean, my thing in the Pro, it came down in the end to the fact that, A, I haven't really used the 3x, let alone the 5x. I thought, you know, yeah, having the S23 Ultra for like 2 or 3 months, and it was great and it was fabulous, but it was never going to be my main phone. It couldn't be my main phone, because my main phone sits in my shirt pocket all day, every day at work still. It's there all the time, and that's where I want it. So it's got to be the small one. And I mean, I probably would, if I'm going to do a telephoto shot, and I know I'm going to do it, rather than a snapshot, a quick grab shot of the Fox, for example, then I am going to have the RX10 with me, and that is like going to blow any iPhone S23 Ultra out of the water. Completely and utterly, obviously, correctly, you know, rightly so.
I mean, this was literally a picture taken because I happened to have the phone to hand when I was making a cup of tea first thing in the morning, you know.
So next time you see him in the same spot, I want you to take a picture of him using either with the new iPhone, you know, take it at 5x, or what were you on that one? 10x? On the Pixel?
As much as 10. I'm not sure, to be honest.
Try and take it at the same length, and let's see what the difference is.
I don't know whether I'll be able to find out.
There'll be a lot in it, if I'm honest.
Probably not, but I think the point I was trying to make really was that I was quite happy with it.
It's that justification that we all do when none of us need to, really. We should buy what we want to buy.
exactly right. That's the picture. Let's see what it tells me what it was doing. It was Not really massively helpful in terms of information about the magnification. It tells me it was 19 millimeters, but I don't think that really is.
Did you send that to? Did you send that to Telegram as a file? You probably didn't. You probably just sent it over. If you can send it again as a file with your permission, I'll stick it in the show notes.
Because
people have been chatting about it quite a bit, and people will be chomping at the bit, going, "I want to see it."
What are they talking about?
That's the only thing about that. Whenever I listen to PSC, especially the way we listen today, we can't see the photo, which is excellent, by the way, of the London Underground. But
I haven't looked at the photo.
Very good.
This is the original.
If you say just go as a file and then select it afterwards, and it will give full res.
There you go. Yeah, that is the
perfect.
Original.
Let me have a look at that and see if that looks any different.
Oh, yeah, well, the earlier one's a slight crop.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it's not, like, massively clearer or anything, is it, actually, interestingly?
No, I don't.
And that's the point when I read these things and I look at the pictures that the person, like, on The Verge or wherever is saying, this is absolutely brilliant, and I'm looking at it and going, OK, we have a different idea. In fact, weirdly enough, your crop looks cleaner.
I'm looking at the file. Screen it does, doesn't it?
It's really weird. Perhaps I'll put both in the show notes, and we'll.
I'm just looking at the PSC picture of the week. You're not wrong. Somebody's done a lot of work on it. Obviously,
yeah, there's a lot of
photo, isn't it?
It's an incredible photo. We've done a lot of removing people, obviously, from that. But yeah, absolutely brilliant. Yeah, very good. Very, very good. I kind of find it an odd spot on there because I very, very often I can't see the photo and I'm thinking, oh, okay, then fine. But a lot of the podcasts go that way now. I still listen to Leo quite a bit, just basically because not a lot else I like. And they just all the time, they just because it's a video podcast, they just forget that 90% of their listeners apparently are actually not on video. And they start talking about stuff they're looking at, and it is quite frustrating. Well, I think it is the 12 o'clock.
The witching hour.
It would be if it was 12 hours later, I guess. But I think we're done, aren't we?
I think we pretty much are. I mean, we've talked about your new toy at some length, haven't we?
We have.
About Apple's ordering process, which I really genuinely do think they ought to have done something about that, because to sort of say we have all these pre-orders and then have the thing say we're not accepting pre-orders right at the moment, I mean that's a bit of a taking the Michael, should we put it that way?
Yeah, I think in reality, I don't think I would ever trade into to Apple, because I'm pretty sure, as you said, if you could be bothered to do it, Music Magpie would have been paying more. I would have thought.
I think the answer to that though is I had a really naff experience with Music Magpie.
They
returned two things I sent them with faults that simply weren't there. As the subsequent purchases are confirmed. But the one that really got me was they claimed one of them was a stolen device.
And
they were about to send it away to be crushed. I spent 2 hours on the phone to them. When I was supposed to be on holiday in Greece. And eventually they agreed to hold on to it until I could get home and get the invoice, which unfortunately in that day was a paper invoice. I'm not entirely sure how come, but it was. Mm. And only then did they very grudgingly send me the phone back, by which time its value had gone down as well. So never again. But the other thing simply is, I could get another 40 or 50 quid perhaps for it if I didn't trade it in with Apple. Well, it's not that 40 or 50 quid isn't worth having, of course it is, but in the big scheme of things, I charge for my time. So
by the time you
spend time working that all out, the gain is actually very, very small. Mm. The whole thing can be done as a single process, well, that bit easier. But I mean,
absolutely.
Leon was saying this to me, and he's absolutely right. You could have made a bit more, I agree. It was just convenience, really, which is, of course, what Apple trades on, isn't it?
Pretty much. Yeah, absolutely. Right, so okay. Well, I think that does it for another fortnight. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And we're into October next time, for goodness sake.
October, good Lord. John, you'll be pleased to hear that Thursday coming, John Lewis, all the Christmas stuff will be out on the 27th of September. It's my day off, so I won't have to see it until the 28th. But bar humbug and all that sort of thing. I personally...
I feel sorry for parents these days, because, I mean, it was bad enough when my kids were small and the Christmas stuff started at the beginning of November. But,
yeah.
I've been in stores where it was there. My birthday's in early September. Last year, not this year, I was actually in somewhere, and they got bloody Christmas music on the 1st of September. I mean, this is just, you know, we all know that the stores need to drive sales. That's wrong. But winding the kids up at that point, And of course, the other thing they're trying to do is wind everybody up about Halloween as well. Well, that can go back to America and stay there as well. Bar humbug doesn't even come into that one. But they just start Christmas so stupidly early that it kind of almost spoils it, really.
I think it should be illegal to start Christmas until the 1st of December.
I'm inclined to agree with
you. And that's being generous, because for me, like, I think it's soon, Christmas Eve is really when you should start it, but there you go.
Well, I mean, you could look at it another way, couldn't you? You could even say we'll start at the beginning of Advent, which, of course, is what Christmas is supposed to be.
Yeah,
about.
It's supposed to be. Yeah.
But for heaven's sake, no, it is a bit stupid, isn't it?
Yeah. Luckily for me, I am out of the way of all of that. So,
till Friday, when presumably you're getting your Santa outfit on and whatever else.
I don't think I'll be in dressing up as Santa. I mean, I haven't ruled it out completely. I could have a complete mental breakdown by then, I guess, and go for it. But, fairly unlikely.
As I think you know, I have a very white beard. And the other day, I was actually asked if anybody had asked me to be Father Christmas. So I'm contemplating the future of the aforementioned white beard.
Yes, I think that would have to go fairly quickly if anyone mentioned that to me.
I did sort of say to them, you're not sitting on my knee, which was the only quick response to come up with. But I suppose there are some people I'd make an exception for that. Not the bloke I work for, thank you very much.
Indeed, absolutely. Somebody in the back channel spoke about a Tech Talk UK groupie the other day, which led me to quickly flip into the analytics to discover that our audience is 100% male. And I'm not making any judgments there, guys, by the way. It's, everyone does what they want to do. But, I don't think that was what they had in mind, to be fair. So I can't believe we are 100% male. So please, if you are a lady and you are listening, can you let us know? Because even if there's only one or two, it would restore my faith in humanity. I've got no idea if it knows or not. It's only the crappy Spotify thing. Well, I don't know. I've got no idea. I'm not an expert with that. It says male 100%. I don't know how it knows.
Yeah, but I don't recollect being asked to declare that.
Well, given that a lot of males pretend to be female online, I don't know how it's working out either. You'd have to ask Spotify for that. But it says it's 100% male. So I don't know. I have no idea where it gets it from. If you know, people, answers on a postcard, please. Thank you.
Very worrying.
Indeed.
So,
right.
So we should go ho, ho, ho or something.
I think we should go up bar humbug and get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I think at that point, Mr. Marley, let's leave it at that.
Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we will see you. Will we see them in a fortnight or hear them? Yeah, will they hear us in a fortnight? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I don't think there's anything particularly exciting happening at the minute. Holiday season's over, I guess. Right, okay, bye.
Bye all.